Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 130. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the ever popular subject of AI, and we're going to specifically be talking about what are some of the best marketing AI agents or services out there. Depends what you call AI agent. There's all sorts of terms. I've just tried to find some products and services for the research that might be useful if you're trying to build a membership or community-based website in the middle of 2025. I've got my ever knowledgeable and patient co-host with me, Kirk Van Heinen. There is only one Kirk. Kirk, would you like to introduce yourself to the new listeners and viewers?
Yeah, thanks, Jonathan. My name is Kurt Van Onen. I own a company called Manana Nomas, and I work directly with the great folks at WP Tonic.
That's fantastic. Like I say, this should be, hopefully you get some real value from this show. I've done a fair bit of research. I think Kurt can see that. I did a little bit, didn't I?
Yes, absolutely.
I do.
I had a couple of names I didn't recognize.
There you go. It should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, we've got a message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hey, running a business is tough. You shouldn't have to worry about your website, too. With Kinsta's managed hosting for WordPress, you get lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7 expert support from real humans. Switch to Kinsta and see site speeds improve by up to 200% with effortless migrations and powerful, easy-to-use dashboard. Join over 120,000 other businesses who also trust Kinsta. Get your first month for free at Kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Coming back, folks, I also want to point out that we've got a fantastic course done by Kirk himself, normally around $49, but you can get it for half price. And basically what it does, it shows you how to build a membership community-focused website from beginning to end using the most modern WordPress technologies. Plus, we've got a curated list of the best WordPress plugins and services that will help you build your website. You can get all these goodies and some special offers from the sponsors. Like I say, you can get all these goodies by going over to wp-tonic.com/deals. wp-tonic.com/deals. All the free goodies are there, folks. So, Kirk, if somebody come to you for a consultation and they had AI agents on their mind, how would you begin the conversation, Kirk?
It usually starts with some begging on my part to get them to stop talking about AI. You know that this is a personal struggle for me, Jonathan.
It's a personal struggle for me.
Yeah, and the hypocrisy starts and ends with me. Like, I'm not going to point out anyone else that I feel is a hypocrite in the space. It's myself. I use AI. I have friends that use AI successfully. But I compare it to, I was in a different show and I said, you know, I used to be a Motorcycle Safety Foundation coach. And I also ran my own road racing school when I was into road racing motorcycles. And the idea that you would give somebody, you know, a 200 horsepower motorcycle and say, there's a racetrack, you know, good luck. If they've never ridden a motorcycle before and you say, there's the track, that's how you get on, good luck. That's what I feel we've done with AI. I feel like there's got to be like that MSF, Motorcycle Safety Foundation version of AI, so that you begin to understand what it is I'm creating, what should I expect to see as the end result, what's the deliverable supposed to resemble, and then play with it. But it's that's not the case in a lot of cases. And so if a client comes to me asking about AI, I generally start asking questions about their expertise that's pre-existing in that field with the AI to make sure that it's a viable conversation.
Yeah, I think that's very sensible. This is my position, folks. I use AI, Kirk uses AI. In specific circumstances for specific tasks, it's extremely useful. Marketing, there's a multitude of different marketing platforms that you should post to, trying to do it all manually without some assistance is very time consuming and practically impossible. But using certain tools, automations, it's very useful, folks, but it's very early days. One of the biggest problems, folks, is there's a set of online influencers on YouTube, on TikTok, on Instagram, and they're pushing outrageous claims. I mean, truly outrageous. A lot of these people are specifically not marketing to you, the listener, but marketing to the WordPress agency owner or the agency, saying that we have a turnkey solution that will build websites, that will do a marketing automation for you, will do this, do that, do the other. I see no evidence of great success myself, folks. One of the major problems is that a lot of the things that they push, you could probably do utilizing a more manual system and do it quicker. A lot of these people, and by the way, folks, there's always, and it's quite hilarious, really, folks, because this is the Membership Machine Show. They're normally always at the end flogging you a course. a course about AI, about a course using AI to automate, to replace yourself, to make 20,000, 20, 50, 100,000 a month. It's utter nonsense. It's utter dribble, folks. We're going to, in this show, I think I've found some tools that for specific tasks that you might be thinking of doing, they might be of help. I've used some of them I haven't, but I've done a fair bit of research and they all look reasonably legit. So how would you respond to what I've just said, Kurt?
Yeah, I think you were I think you were less positive than me in that little talk about AI. I think that AI.
Oh, but I love it. I use it. You know, it's helped me enormously, Kurt.
Yeah, great tools. Great tools. As long as, again, you understand and you have the proper expectations. I have used a lot of AI tools for, you know, the website building that Jonathan had mentioned, right? It's like, hey, let's use it. Let's blow up a quick, you know, test site to check this plugin or something and done that with success. But with the use of AI, a lot of things fall through the cracks. So if I'm using extensive AI to filter CRM in a support platform or something, I run the risk of losing contacts or losing things through the automation process that should have had my attention. So I just caution people. If you use the tools, you got to make sure you babysit the tools. You got to make sure they continue to work. It's almost as simple to me, Jonathan, as people have a web form on their website for a lead generator. And then they'll say things, weird things, like at networking events. They'll say, yeah, I haven't had very many leads lately. But they don't sign into the website and test the form to make sure it's still working, right? And it's like a lot of times those things disconnect with updates and stuff. So AI is a similar thing. It's not a set it and forget it. It's a set it and babysit it and make sure you monitor the deliverables. And you got to make sure you have people on staff that can do that with you.
Yeah, we are in early days, folks. And I'm bombarded by YouTube adverts pushing AI, you're over 40. You're probably just using ChatGPT just to, as a toy. We've got this course. It will teach you all these tools. And I look at the tools and I think you don't need to join a very expensive course, folks. So let's move forward. So we're looking at something called Copy AI. It's a general copy aimed at writing good quality copy with a load of pre-designed prompts and other curated tools that can help you write copy for various scenarios. Yes, you're thinking, well, I could go to OpenAI or I could go to Claude or Perplexity and pay 20. This starts at 49, which sounds reasonable to me, but the advance is 249. That seems a bit stiff to me. But if you're a teen and you're writing a lot of copy, but the research I did, I haven't used this in anger. I've got some other tools because I've got more specific needs. But in general, it's got a pretty good write-up for the quality of general AI writing that it can produce. What do you think, Kurt?
Well, their strategy is one that I actually really like. So part of the reason that I discourage, hate to use it like that, but part of the reason that I've been less optimistic about everyone using AI is people don't understand the detail that needs to be input into a prompt to get the right output. And copy AI does a really good job of giving people great starter kind of prompts or pre-prompted fields that give you an expected outcome. So I think, you know, when you say where's the service, where's the value kind of question, I'd say that the service and value there is in the packaging of the AI and the kind of the pre-formatting for the results. I think they do a pretty good job with it. And their use cases on their website go into a fair amount of detail, which gives you more, shall we say, confidence in going with them. The one thing that I found uniquely different about them was they actually had stuff in their website telling you why AI is bad. Like they actually were like, this is why you don't use this kind of AI. This is why you don't use that kind of AI. Bad things happen. And that to me shows that they're trying to guide people in a more healthy direction.
Yeah, my only proviso, folks, is do not use it for SEO purposes. Because without a tremendous amount of manual editing, if you're utilizing this type of copy, it's going to really hurt your website. Google do not rate or treat websites with a lot of AI copy. That it can identify in a very kind way. It will really hurt your SEO. So, but for everything else or for getting a first draft and you do edit it quite a bit, you'll probably be all right. On to the next one. Sora. Video and image generation. There's a number out there. This does come from OpenAI, so it's around $20 a month. I think it starts with, there's other plans. There's other ones out there, and it does change rapidly. They're the best one, or the one that's best at the present moment might not be the best one in 2 weeks' time. But the research I did and what I was seeing, especially like some of the examples, you took images off the internet and you had one image and another image and you took a third image and you say, you put a prompt in, I want to replace the second image with the third image and I want you to adapt it. It will do it. The examples I saw were quite impressive. You do have to mess around and put extra prompts in. It won't happen straight away, but it's not too ridiculous either. What's your thoughts about this, Kurt?
Sora is an amazing tool. I mean, just plain and simple, it's an amazing tool to me. The things that it does, like when you very plainly, like you said, change this picture with that picture. But you could give it a picture and say, you know, using AI, interpret what happens next based on the static contents of this picture, and it creates a video out of it. It's it does amazing things. Now, there's some things that you look at it and you go, oh, that's AI. And then there's other things that you see in it and you actually find yourself kind of second guessing a little bit, like, is this AI? Right. And that to me is that's eye opening, right? That shows you how far we've come. I can remember looking at this stuff, this kind of content, just a year ago, and it was nowhere near the quality that it is today.
Could you say that again? Sorry, what's that last?
I said I can remember looking at this type of content like a year ago, and it being nowhere near the quality that it is today. The quality of imagined video, but this is where, and you got to help guide me on this one, Jonathan. Maybe I'm losing the plot a little bit. In a lot of the examples I see in these AI examples, they'll say, you know, create a video at the zoo, and they'll say, well, change it from a zoo to a park, change it from a park to a rock concert, change it from a rock concert to a, and I'm like, is this just fun and games? Like, we're just trying to iterate different things until we see something that visually makes us, you know, makes the synapses in our brain go, like the dopamine effect is happy.
Yeah, basically.
Or are we using these tools with purpose, you know, on purpose for a set outcome? And a lot of times I see the visual stuff, the pictures and the videos, the different tools. It seems like there's not a real purpose in there's not a real goal at the end. It's more like a journey that leads to something that might be cool. And that to me is, I don't think that's the most productive use of our time.
No, I think that's a fantastic point. And a lot of the examples are around, it pops. It's great. But does it really, when you actually want to get the image, then turn it into the video that actually achieves something? Is it so effective? I think it's getting there. And it's getting there rapidly, but I think there's a lot in what you've just said.
Well, the depth of the prompts that you have to write to get the original piece made. Like, it's one thing to say, oh, I like the rock concert, now make it a bouldering in Utah. You know, it just changes the background, right? And it does that. But the initial prompts, they're deep. Like when you read what the actual prompts to like an imagine headshot image is, there's a lot of descriptive, you know, characters in that prompt. It's more detailed than I think the average user is willing to suffer through. And so I think the average user does not get anywhere near the results of the samples because they don't understand the depth of the prompting required.
Well, or the skill level required.
Correct. Yeah.
That is something a lot of these influencers on YouTube, on Instagram, do not point out. It's like, you learn that by doing their course, Kurt. At $499 or $1,997, Kirk.
We need to make a course on how not to get sucked into a $500 course.
At $497. All right. On to the next one. I'm so cynical, but there's truth to it. Make.com. There is a lot of marketing agents, automation agents. I think it's very similar to the image. There's a lot more pre-work you got to do to get a result, but it's still early days. And I think something like Zillow, they're probably working because they must be worried because this is kind of Zillow on steroids, isn't it? It goes out, you give it things to do, and the agent should go out and do them and give you the end result. And there's some amazing examples out there, but it's a bit like the image video examples. They tend to skip on the amount of skill and time that has to be put in to get the end result. But one of the better ones, I haven't used many of these because it's an ever-changing landscape, but Make.com. I want to point out, I've written an article on this, and you'll find it in the video or the audio description if you're listening or watching this, and it gives you all the links and prices, so you don't have to worry to write all this down, folks. It's in the article. So what did you make of Make.com? Starts free, Core 10, Pro 18, Team 34. Not outrageously expensive, in my opinion.
I think it's a very affordable way to dip your toes in the water and start working with stuff. When I was looking at Make and the different things that people are formulating or putting forward with the product, I couldn't help myself but make that transition to, why aren't they using like Cursor with Claude with this? Because we're in different circles and we hear people using these other tools on a more frequent basis. But I think someone dipping their toes in the water that wants to get, you know, started with, you know, automations or creating a different AI agents to do different things. And it's like super important, Jonathan. Some people don't even understand, like when you say create an AI agent, people are like, what the heck is that? Right. But like an AI agent is something that does a function or performs something on your behalf.
Well, I see it this way, like with Zillow, there are in the WordPress world, folks, there are plugins and services that do what Zillow does. But in the world of WordPress, getting one or getting various plugins to communicate that aren't have natively built communication, and Canny Automator comes to mind. It's part of our package and it's one of the more established ones, but also the people from Astra got one. I think it's called At Triggers or something. There's about half a dozen, but the probably the one you're aware of is Zillow. And what Zillow does, it's normally the way I rationalize the difference between what Zillow does and what a AI agent. You ask it, Zillow, to go to one website, get some data, maybe manipulate that data or take that data and communicate with another app or website. With the agent, it's like a if else statement. You can tell it, well, if you get this information, this type of information, do this. But if it's this other type of information, go here. If you get something outside the two parameters, do this. So you can ask it, and let's hope it does it, a much more complicated scenario. Do you think I'm on the right track here, Kurt?
I think we're on the right track, but I got to clarify something just out of confusion. Are you talking about Zapier? Zapier?
Yeah, Zapier. Sorry, yeah.
Jonathan's in the middle of buying a house, so he's got Zillow on the brain.
Yeah, so Zillow, I mean Zapier.
Good. Okay. Yeah. So now I'm on the same path. I'm on the same track. I'd agree. Very similar. It's people when they're shopping for different AI tools, if they're not familiar with artificial intelligence, they'll see, oh, well, this is this engine, but it's based on these agents and these agents do these things. And if you're new to the space, you just instantly get confused and you lost the plot.
I use AI every day and it confuses me. So
yeah.
I might not be the sharpest tool, but I'm not the bluntest either in the toolbox. So on to the next one before we go for our break. HeyGen. Right. It makes video AI avatars. You can upload a video of yourself and it will make a copy of yourself, and you can upload or type in a script and it will sync the words to the copy of you and it will speak the words and you get gestures, and it looks pretty good now. Or after you start using these a bit, you can identify when it is being used. And I see a lot of the YouTube adverts using this technology because the lip sync isn't quite good enough if you're really watching it. But if you're not really watching, you won't notice it, in my opinion. I think it's pretty amazing. What do you reckon?
Again, I'm going to go back to, if you saw it a year ago and then you saw it now, like on a screen share side by side, the difference is amazing. The new stuff that HeyGen is doing is creepishly good. It's the idea that you could have this platform do stuff for you. Now, I used to be completely abject. Like, I hated the idea of it. But then I ran into, in my professional spaces, I ran into extremely intelligent, you know, well-versed, smart people that have a great idea that they want to share that's going to add value to other people, but they hate being on camera. Some people just can't deal with being on camera. And if that's the case, this HeyGen tool is really good for them because it's a representation of themselves, but they're not having to deal with the uhs and the ums and the blushing and the coughing and the allergies and the whatever that get in the way of making live video.
Yeah, I think the area that I'm really excited, and we haven't had time, but I do plan that we look at this, is in using it for other languages. If you've got somebody who's a native speaker, which can't speak other languages, you could clone he or she, and they could speak in Spanish, Portuguese, whatever. And they would be actually there in front of the students. I think that's a, especially when it comes to educate e-learning membership. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Now, I am going to say, and I just feel like I need to, I think it's incredibly disingenuous. Like there's, like I think with training sites, any kind of e-learning or training sites, I think it's hugely important that, you know, you're not in the same room shaking hands with people. So you have to do everything you can to create relationship with your audience, especially if it's a course you're selling. So it's really strange to like have a fake video that is promoting your content. But in some cases, it's better than nothing promoting your content, right? And so if the choice is, you know, a fake video or no video at all, I'll probably default to the fake video.
Yeah. All right. I think it's time for us to have our mid-break. We've covered a few. I've got a few more in the second half of these AI agent services. You should get some great value from this. We're getting more and more popular. We're going up the iTunes and Spotify charts quite rapidly. So I think me and Kirk have found a niche. It's taken over a year, but I think the last episodes have been fantastic. I think Kirk's happy as well. Everything's great. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Coming back, folks, before we go into the second half of the show, I want to point out we've got another great free resource. That's the Membership Machine Show Facebook group. Totally free. You've got any questions that come up during listening or watching these shows, you can go to the Facebook Membership Machine Show group and you can ask those questions. Any other additional advice is a great free resource. I normally post. I've been traveling recently. I've slacked off doing that. I mean to get back into that next week, but I might be a bit busy next week as well. Doing stuff always takes more time, but I will attempt that. So let's go straight back into it, Kurt. This is a controversial one. I've got very mixed feelings about this. This attempt to pronounce it Replit. Is that correct? Replit?
I think it's Replit.
Replit.
Yeah.
Basically, you put prompts in and it builds a whole website for you. There are influencers on YouTube saying this is going to replace WordPress, or this is going to replace Wix or Squarespace and blah, blah, blah. And then you look at the amount of work and the amount of setup you got to do to get it hosted somewhere free, where, you know, if you've got a very small marketing website, you can get like less than $5 hosting and it will do the job. And it's cool. Don't get me wrong, but it's, and I might be biased, you know, I just think it's well overplayed. You can go and get a theme, get up and running. Do you really want to spend all this time, doing this? But one area I thought it might, because I'm surprised, is knocking up landing pages or helping you develop lead magnets. I thought that might be because this is still very early days. I don't know if I've been too negative about it because of my bias. What do you reckon, Kurt?
The hype in the marketing for them is hard to miss. And so when it's hyped as high as it is, it sets the expectation either really high or really low. In my case, it set the expectation really low. I'm like, this is going to take an inordinate amount of work and supervision to get the results that my expectations have created through the marketing effort. So things that caught my attention in it was like, I could make a chatbot. Okay, that sounds cool. I could create a game. And then I said, okay, what does creating a game look like? And of course, with their hype, it's more like, you know, like just type in, I want to make a game. And it starts making you a game. And it's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. Like, I got to give it parameters and details and plot and all these things. Even those stupid games that are on late night TV, you know, trying to be pimped out to us on you know, cable TV, those games had a purpose, right? There's some kind of psychology behind them to make them work, to make people get hooked on them. And so it's to me, there's no way that product is doing what the hype is saying it does.
Yeah, they've got a free, but you're not going to be able to do too much with the free because it's token-based, folks. You only get so many tokens per price level. Next one is Core 20 and then got Teams 35. Some of the reviews and some of the criticism of the platform, which was a couple of months ago, I don't watch anything or read anything that's more than a couple of months because this is changing so quickly. And they were very critical on the token allocation on the different plan levels, seeing you could burn through them really quickly and then you can't buy extra. You've got to wait for the next day. And all this business, I don't know if that's changed, but there was a lot of criticism. And it's just the hype, folks. It's well overhyped, but it's still interesting. And like I say, it's early days. So go on.
It's an interesting concept. In the pricing, I was a little confused, and I didn't know if you had the details on this or not. When you look at Teams, it says 50 viewer seats. I wasn't sure what a viewer seat was.
I imagine it's somebody actually using it, watching it. Well, I don't know. Well, you've got to host it somewhere.
Well,
I don't really know what that is, actually. Sorry, no, I don't actually.
Yeah, with their documents, it says, I think if you look under deployments, it says that they offer the hosting. Oh. They offer flexible hosting for any type of project. And so I'm like, well, that's convenient. And then when I looked at the pricing, it said, you know, $35 a month with 40 viewer seats. And I'm like, what's a viewer seat? Yeah. And then are you telling me I'm limited to 40 customers? Like, I didn't get it. And without having the facts in front of me, I didn't want to say it as a negative. It was just a question mark.
Well, the people that are promoting it don't seem to have any problems. So, right. On to the next one. So it's interesting. But for the hardcore marketer that really hates WordPress, and that there are people out there like that, that just dream and that are selling a course that will show you how it works. They love it. Me and mortals are not quite so sure, but I might be biased, folks. On to something that I thought was pretty cool, actually, overlap. Ticking long form video, there are a number out there. I know you use one with great, and it's been working for you. I think you do use one. I'm not sure. That cuts up video into. But this overlap, it seemed to get quite a lot of high praise from the reviews and the videos I watched. What did you think of this?
I love the concept. I've always loved the concept. I was a Opus AI user for a while right out of the chute. And then I'm also a Descript user, and Descript has a clips feature as well. So I let the Opus lapse and I stuck with Descript for a while. But if I'm going to be honest with people, especially our audience that's listening, there's a certain familiarity that comes up with the way that these clips can be made. and people recognize it. And after a while, it gets kind of like played out. So it's like, when you see an Opus clip, it's like people are like, ah, it's another Opus clip, you know, and they might not know it's an Opus clip, but they know it's one of those clip things. So I think sometimes it's advantageous to shift gears and try a different product. When I looked at the format of the product that comes out of Overlap, it's a little bit different. So visually it impacts differently. And I think it might be worth giving a try, especially at only $20 a month.
Yeah, the next one up is $250 is a bit rich. It's a big jump, the 21. See how you get on with it. But you've got a great point. I haven't used them. It's the one thing I need to get into because I'm probably missing opportunity because I do produce a lot of content, but a lot of it's long form. I need to cut it up a bit. On to the next one. It's a bit like copy AI. You know, there's a whole host of general AI writing tools out there. Hopefully, I might not updated this because I think I doubled on Reblit, but I've swapped 7 out to Claude Kurt. It's a general writer. It's a competitor to OpenAI and Perplexity. But I just like the content that it produces. I think it's more readable. It's better. It was a clear leader, but people now would say that ChatGPT from OpenAI, their latest version, that they would say it's better than Claude now. But I still like it. I think it's one of the best generalistic writers out there. What do you reckon, Kurt?
Are we talking about Super Whisper?
No, we're talking about Claude.
Claude. Okay. So, because I got kind of lost in the show notes there for just a heartbeat.
Yeah, I changed it. Yeah, and I forgot to, because I doubled up on something. Yeah.
It's all right. So for me, my personal one that attracts me, I've been really happy with Grok, and their latest update in Grok has been.
You ever been worried to becoming a super Nazi?
No. No super Nazism. Just I really like Grok. Claude to me, and I've used Claude a few times, and I don't know why, but ChatGPT has always just rubbed me wrong. And I don't really have if you held me to it and said, Kurt, specifically, what is it about ChatGPT you don't like? I'd have a really hard time answering the question because they all kind of use that same, you know, weird chat window, right? Put in your prompt and get the result. But I would say in my order, it would be Grok, then Claude, then ChatGPT.
Yeah, I just like Claude. I'm worried about Grok. You know, there was this incident, folks, that it was asked some questions and it became a super Nazi rather quickly. Not exactly my cup of tea, folks, but there we go. if you're into that, Finn, have a look at not Claude. I think Claude would never do that. You know, he's too. There you go. Sorry. God, you going to say something?
It's been interesting to me to watch this AI roll out over the last couple of years because all of them have had some glaring deficiency come up in some release. You know, that the Gemini, when Gemini was first released and it said, show me a picture of the people that signed the Declaration of Independence. And there wasn't a single white dude in the room. It's like, something's amiss here. Something's amiss. And it's obvious that there are agendas and things behind some of these tools. That latest, you know, anti-Semitism thing that Grok went through, that sure is a black eye on that platform. But I really liked, and this is just me being a fanboy, I guess, you know, Elon didn't hide from it. You know, he admitted it. They made changes. They made an update. It wasn't like it was hidden or swept under the carpet. So, but it is interesting, as you point out, you know, a lot of these platforms can throw up some weird data sometimes, and that's why we got to supervise it and know what to expect.
Yeah, careful on Elon. Yeah, there you go. On to the next one before I get into some real trouble. I will save that for the other show and the monthly roundtable show. I will save my vex for that particular show. Super Whisper came on my radar. It's only Mac, folks. I think you can use it on iOS. What it does, it basically, you can speak and it will translate. A lot of these work reasonably. Google used to be the best. Siri on Mac is useless, absolutely useless. But talking to Google Chrome, it doesn't. But this is really on steroids. You can choose which language model you can use, and you can choose what if you're on a Mac Silicon, not a Intel Mac. You can still use it, but it has to be cloud-based. But there's these language models that work locally on your computer, so you're not pushing it out to the cloud, which I wouldn't be keen on. But you can save it locally, and it does a really good job. And the free version's pretty good, and they've got a pro version, which is around $8 a month if you pay annually. So I've been quite impressed with it, actually. What do you reckon, Kurt?
A couple things. One was, you know, I'm a sucker for a lifetime deal, and they had a lifetime deal offer that I
didn't notice that. What was the lifetime deal?
$249.
Lifetime. He loves his life even more than me, and I'm a lover of turkey. He loves his lifetime deals.
I love the lifetime deal. So,
But you're not a Mac user, are you?
No, I'm not a Mac user. I'm PC all the way, baby. There's a certain lure to text to speech to text. I know some people that it'd be a miracle if they could use their phone if they couldn't talk at it all day, right? So speech to text has its place. What I really, really like, and it's one of the things you pointed out, Jonathan, was its translation abilities. The ability to speak something and have it translated or come out in another language, that to me is a really kind of valuable tool, especially when you look at e-learning and training and the kinds of things that you and I get involved with for projects.
Yeah, I use it. I convert UK English to American English. See, that's what I use.
I wonder if it's still an option in Facebook. You could pick pirate as your designated language.
I don't know.
There
you go. On to the next one. Let's have a go, Jonathan. Manus?
Yeah, Manus. This is one I haven't played with at all.
Highly recommended. It's a kind of research, business insights, can write for you as well. It's not the cheapest. It starts at $39, but the pro is $199. But I haven't used it in anger for it because they haven't got a free product. But all the research I did, they said it really does some really quality research. If there's a particular industry and you want to know if it's growing in the next couple of years, or is there a particular niche in that industry that you could market to? What are some of the main pain points for people in that particular niche that you should emphasize in your marketing, blah, 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 the type of stuff that you'd either have to pay a lot of money for offshore and then somebody that knows how to do research, or it can cost you a lot of money, or you buy research that's been pre-done and that's not cheap. You know, there's a lot of money in research, but this has good reputation. What did you think of this, Kurt?
Well, the pricing caught my attention. And then when I was looking through some of the testimonials for use cases, kind of see like, okay, what are people really doing? Because like yourself, I looked at the site and I said, oh, this looks like a research tool. But then when you look at the testimonials, it's saying things like, I use this tool to make an application. I use this tool to do this. I use this tool to do that. And I'm like, all right, maybe it does a bunch of other things. I haven't used it at all yet. This is one of the ones where I was like, I'm not signing up to try this today. It's just not going to happen. the testimonials are incredibly generous towards Manus. And it's obvious businesses always promote the testimonials that say the nicest things, but they got a lot of them. And apparently people have used this platform in lots of different ways. From the research side, the data is showing that you get deeper, more accurate research through Manus than from other providers. That's what I was able to see quickly in the research. And based on the amount of hallucinations I've seen lately, having something that is rated as a higher degree of accuracy for research, I think has a huge value. You know, it's like an exclamation mark. It's like if it really is more accurate, then it's worth it, especially if you're looking up stuff that's imperative to your business.
Yeah, they just reckoned it found the info useful information and you didn't have to re-prompt to such a deep extent. It, you know, got, and the quality of research. And it was just the feedback, which was consistent, but I haven't used it. But it seems interesting and maybe at some stage I would use it. Number 10's got a question mark because, Kurt, are there any AI products and services that you've been using lately that you would like to share with the audience?
This guy's going to have to write me a check someday because I've been talking about him a lot. I've been using a tool lately called Magi, MAGAI.AI or .io.
Oh, put it in the chat, will you? Put it in Slack, actually. Put it into Slack and I'll make sure it's in the chat.
Yeah. So I've been using this tool called Magi. It's Magi.co. And basically what Magi.co does is it does a few things. One is it gives me access to multiple tools in one screen. So when I want to create a query through artificial intelligence, I choose ChatGPT. Which level of ChatGPT? Claude, Grok. I can pick Perplexity.
Oh, that's this guy we actually interviewed on the other show, didn't we?
I don't think we did. I don't think we should, because he's pretty brilliant.
I think we have interviewed him, but put it in Slack and I will research. Yeah, go on. Well,
one of the things I like about Magi is they sponsor a weekly office hours. And people come and they do like, you know, just use case situations. How do
I? Is it as bonkers as the one that you manage?
Yeah, maybe just a little bit bonkers. No, actually, it's not, because he does less feedback from people. He just kind of runs a presentation. But it's pretty good. And the other thing that I like about it, and this is where we get into like the idea of agents, right? So there's AI and there's AI agents. His tool comes pre-populated with agents. And so one is for like e-learning, one is for marketing, one is for this. And so the results that you get from the AI questions are customized to go with those agents. So you get the type of response you would want for that agent. And then you can create your own custom agents. And what I like is I don't have to remember which tool I used for AI to figure something out. If I just go to my Magi dashboard, all of my chats are stored and I can go and see what did I look up, who did I talk to, and all that. So it's all right there. So for me, that's my go-to tool for now. And I actually graduated off of WriteBlogger to that. So if you remember, we interviewed the guy from WriteBlogger, and WriteBlogger was like what we said about, you know, the first one on the show today. And that was, you know, it was pre-populated with prompts and it shortcut a lot of AI things for you. So that as someone getting just started with AI, it was a great tool to be like, write me a summary of this, write me a summary of that, go find this information. And it did it.
Yeah, the one I use is called Superhero. Yeah, I got it on AppSooner, lifetime deal. And that's what that does. It's got a load of pre-canned short prompts for specific tasks.
Yeah, to your point, these things change all the time. And so when I'm looking at new tools, I try to stay within, you know, kind of a 45, 60 day range for ideas to go look at new AI stuff. And I've been really happy with the way they've maintained.
So what made you move? If you don't mind me asking, what made you move from the first one to the new one?
Well, the WriteBlogger had lots of options, lots of fields, lots of different tools, lots of agents built into it. And then but it was like that tool. That was like that one thing, right? And then Magi was a combination of all the different AI tools, all the different agents, and the cost is $20 a month. And so for $20 a month, I'm getting access to all of the AI tools, all of these AI agents, and I just have to take myself maybe just one or two steps further on the laziness trail. You know what I mean? Like instead of having everything pre-done for me, I just have to have the forethought to go, okay, let's write a prompt in this voice for this response. And I had to kind of train myself up on that a little bit better. But I've been real happy with it so far. And to be honest, there are some tools where I've thought, you know what? I really don't want to do this work anymore. Maybe I will go back. Like I've thought maybe I'll re-up on WriteBlogger for a while and make 50 or 100 blog posts and then jump back out of it again. Or Opus AI, another perfect one, right? With those video clips. Maybe I will jump back in and make a ton of video clips and then jump back out again. But there's no way, Jonathan, that the average person could or should have, you know, 12 or 15 subscription accounts to all these tools every month, because it adds up too much. You've got to find a way to manage it and make your choices and then understand what compromises you've made based on your budget.
Yeah, totally agree. Of the nine that plus the ones that you've talked about, any of these that you've really kind of thought, yeah, that's not bad? Any of them?
Well, there's two that really jump off the page to me. And you're probably going to find these choices weird because I'm always talking about productivity, efficiency, you know, build things on purpose. But I can't get over how cool that Sora tool is. Sora is super, super cool and fun to play with. I just have a hard time fitting into a business model for me. You know, it's like it's a cool artist tool, but like, am I trying to make viral social posts or am I trying to do things for business? And so I have a hard time from a business standpoint with that one. And then the other one, and I already said I hated it, right? But it's like, I think about my clients. I have a lot of clients that are a little more camera shy or aren't polished when they're speaking on camera. And that HeyGen tool is a really good tool for people that, you know, are on a budget, that need to put out some content, that needs it to be a representation of themselves, but they just honestly don't have the skill set to make it. I think that that HeyGen tool is a really good tool for that.
Yeah, I agree with you, HeyGen. And the other one that I've been using and it's made a big difference to me is Super Whisper. Love it. Just love it. It's really fantastic. Really accurate. I use it all the time. Love it. Love it to bits. But I didn't know they got the lifetime deal. I might cough up for that because I've been using it quite a bit.
For a lifetime deal.
Right, Kirk. What's the best place for people to find out more about you, your thoughts, and your recommendations?
Well, like you said at the beginning of the show, I'm the only Kurt Von Onen on LinkedIn. So if you want to go to LinkedIn and find me, connect there, make the connection. Don't just follow, but make the connection. That's great. And then if it's for business, I'm at Mañana No Más. Anything that's Mañana No Más typically leads right back to me.
Yeah, and if you want to support the show, folks, the best way to do it is to go to iTunes, the app. They make it really easy to leave a review, or Spotify. It's the same there. The app on the phones make it really easy. On the desktop, they bury it a little bit more, but on the apps, Android or iOS, they make it really easy. Like I say, iTunes or Spotify, and leave a review, folks. Good, bad, or indifferent. I do read them all, and doing that really attracts new people to the Membership Machine Show. And it's a great way to support the show. We've been getting a ton new people watching this. We've been going up the charts quite considerably for a niche show. But I think we do provide some great info and completely honest reviews and thoughts. And like I say, you got any questions, you can always outreach to me on Twitter. Or through the YouTube channel, the WP Tonic YouTube channel with Kirk. It's LinkedIn. We will be back next week with another great show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show.
Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.